Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Everybody on the streets are telling me, John, New Hampshire's done, Iowa's done. I need my primary fix. Well, don't worry, folks. Help is on the way. On Thursday in Myrtle Beach, their hometown, the Republicans held their last debate for the South Carolina primaries, which began with a moving rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. By the dawn's early light. Apparently, the debate was held on the Lido deck of an 80s cruise ship. What the hell was that? It didn't look like the start of the debate. People were wearing gowns, for God's sakes. Now, going in, Mike Huckabee and John McCain each had one major victory under their belt. Huckabee won Iowa. McCain won New Hampshire. Romney won Wyoming. But apparently, that doesn't count. The guy literally has won Wyoming, and everybody's like, yeah, Romney's out of it. So let's see how Huckabee and McCain, who are now the two frontrunners for the Republican nomination, do in a good old-fashioned Republican debate, Reagan off. Governor Huckabee?
But I stayed faithful to the things that Ronald Reagan stayed faithful to.
All right, so Governor Huckabee has never cheated on Nancy Reagan. I don't know what good that's gonna do the rest of the electorate. Let's move along to Senator McCain.
I'm proud to have been a member of the Reagan Revolution, a foot soldier.
I was a gunner. There we were. McGovern to my left, Dukakis to my right. And there I be. You know what? Let's open up the Reagan off to the floor.
Ronald Reagan appointed me Associate Attorney General of the United States.
Ronald Reagan knew your name. Ronald Reagan knew your name. The first round of the Reagan off goes to Giuliani. And let's see, the first round is worth, I don't know, 911 points. Okay. It's Giuliani. Could it be worth any different? Next up. After the Reagan off, the candidates had to show the people of South Carolina that they understand their problems. Senator.
I know how to secure the borders.
You know how to secure the borders. Apparently, South Carolina having a terrible time with two wily bootleggers from Georgia, I believe. I believe their name.
Oh, damn you! I'm gonna get you, you two boys!
McCain continued.
I come from a border state where our borders are broken. More people come across our border illegally every year than most any other state.
So it sounds like you don't know how to secure the borders. I've got more experience with Mexicans coming in. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm overrun with people in this country illegally. Governor Huckabee, I think you have your opening.
Roads were horrible. I took on the worst road system in the country, according to Truckers Magazine. When I left, they said it was the most improved road system in the country.
I have that issue of Truckers Magazine. There's a great article about mud flaps in it that I... My favorite part about Truckers Magazine actually is, and I'm guessing you haven't read it, I buy it and I read it and then I spend the rest of the week working on the crossword. And I'll just, 27 down, five-letter word, for mobile vehicular transport unit. Truck. Okay, 21 down, monster blank. Truck. Here's one, rhymes with yeah. Every month, the same puzzle.
They're killing me.
You know, I'll tell you, with the performance of Huckabee and McCain, this really is Trucker Magazine, by the way. I'm not kidding around. Okay. You know what? Maybe tomorrow night I'll just read you something from Trucker Magazine. I believe that Huckabee and McCain have opened up a real opportunity for Giuliani in this debate. Let me hear what he has to say.
I threw Arafat out of the UN 50 celebration, and I made sure Castro wouldn't come to that celebration.
Basically, Giuliani is saying that his foreign policy experience is stopping two old men from going to a party. Actually, and this is true, if you watch the debate, the biggest difference in this debate between the ones that were in the lead-up to Iowa and New Hampshire was the tone. Now they're in the real heart of going after the base. They're in the South. Here's the tone that they've set in terms of dealing with the problem overseas.
If you think you're going to engage the United States military, be prepared that the next thing you see will be the gates of hell, for that is exactly what you will see after that.
But sir, in this instance...
I'm not interested in trading with Al-Qaeda. All they want to trade is burkas. I don't want to travel with them. They like one-way tickets.
I think one more step, you know, and they would have been introduced to those virgins that they're looking forward to seeing.
The thing that they never show is the audience that they're playing to. Who would that...
They would have been introduced to those virgins that they're looking forward to seeing.
By the way, you can get all of those great Republican debate comedy snaps in the new comedy album, You Might Be an Islamo-Fascist If...
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
As you know, Tuesday is the New Hampshire primary, the most crucial vote since last week's Iowa caucus, and a key bellwether for the South Carolina vote 12 days from then, which, as you know, is a proving ground. The remaining Republican candidates gathered Saturday night on ABC television for a 9 p.m. debate, and then inexplicably reassembled the next morning at 9 a.m. on NBC for another debate. It's like the Republican primaries become a telethon for electoral dystrophy. It's the 14th and 15th debate. I mean, they're out of things to talk about. Here was what they were down to Saturday night.
It's Saturday night again as we meet.
So if you weren't here running for president, what would you be doing on a Saturday night?
And as a follow-up, what would you be wearing? And as a follow-up to that, really, you're going to go out in that? Obviously, it's a silly question. And yet, it reveals the sad truth of running for president. No question is too trivial to not merit a pandering lie.
I'd probably be at the shooting range.
I'd be watching the college championship basketball game.
Football game.
I mean, football game.
It's okay. And we'd be watching the championship game.
Afraid it's football. I love it.
I'd probably read an economic textbook.
I believe one of you. Seriously, if you went down the line of the candidates, the real answers would be, Real Housewives. I've been watching Real Housewives. Real Housewives. Real Housewives. Real Housewives. I'd be reading an economic textbook. In fact, the Saturday debate was so lame, there was only one thing people even wanted to talk about afterwards.
Nobody really went after Mitt Romney.
A lot of his rivals for the Republican nomination didn't really attack him.
The five opponents to Mitt Romney really didn't hit him very hard.
Everybody threw punches, but few of them at Mitt Romney.
When is someone going to kick Mitt Romney in the balls? We want to know. Well, it turns out the prayers were answered 10 hours later on the Lord's Day.
Mitt, I realize the red light doesn't mean anything to you because you're the front runner.
If you didn't want to even stand before the people of Massachusetts and run on your record, if it was that great, why did you bail out?
I was criticized last night by Governor Romney for putting my country first.
A relatively timid Massachusetts moderate.
This nation is divided, David, because of attitudes like that.
Can we drop a little bit of the pious baloney? The fact is, you ran in 94 and lost. That's why you weren't serving the Senate.
Wait, your baloney has a first name and it's pious? That is a terrible name for baloney. Mom, can I have a pious baloney and sanctimonious cheese sandwich? Newt Gingrich calling someone out for some pious baloney. That'd be like Newt Gingrich waxing poetic on the sanctity of marriage.
The sacrament of marriage was based on a man and woman, has been for 3,000 years, is at the core of our civilization, and is something worth protecting and upholding.
Now that is some pious baloney. But you know what? To be fair, Johnny Three Wives is right. We must protect marriage from gay people. It's not Adam and Steve, it's Adam and Eve. And then later Trish, and eventually Barbara. And probably. Anyway, but what of the front runner Mitt Romney? Could he maintain his lead through 4 hours of debating whilst still displaying a breathtaking ability to express two diametrically opposed thoughts with absolutely no recognition that he had just done so?
I think you can.
Here's Mitt Romney, A, disavowing any knowledge of the super PAC ads Newt Gingrich is complaining about, and then B, defending the precise content of those ads, and go.
With regards to their ads, I haven't seen them. But let me tell you this. The ad I saw said that you've been forced out of the speakership. That was correct. That you'd sat down with Nancy Pelosi and argued for a climate change bill. That was correct. That as part of an investigation, an ethics investigation, that you had to reimburse some $300,000. Those things were all true.
So, dude, let me tell you what is specifically in the ads I never saw. The weird thing is there, why lie? Why not just defend it? We all know people like that. When you just think, like, why would you lie about that?
Oh, I refuse to look at those stolen cell phone pictures of Scarlett Johansson, and what's up with how grainy they are? And, you know, I mean, nobody's body's that perfect. I mean, come on. It's just,
it's all right. Kind of a bad moment there for Mitt. But at least he didn't do anything to reinforce the other Romney stereotype that he's some sort of elitist, out-of-touch career politician.
And I happened to see my dad run for governor when he was 54 years old. He had good advice to me. He said, Mitt, never get involved in politics if you have to win an election to pay a mortgage.
What a relatable story.
Mitt, remember, only run for office when you're rich.
I remember my father taking me aside during my early teenage years. We were playing catch in the yard, and he advised me, withhold running for elective office until my net assets exceeded liabilities by a ratio of 30-1. Excluding, of course, foreign indemnities. Dad. Anyway, Romney being Romney, even this weak attempt at relatability was doomed to collapse.
When I saw Ted Kennedy running virtually unopposed in 1994, a man who I thought by virtue of the policies of the liberal welfare state had created a permanent underclass in America, I said someone's got to run against him. I was happy that he had to take a mortgage out on his house to ultimately defeat me.
You forced Ted Kennedy to mortgage one of his houses? What a weird rich guy thing to brag about.
Did I ever tell you about the time I bested Richard Branson at that Zeppelin auction? I drove up the bidding on a gold-plated dirigible I didn't even want. Branson had to sell part of his archipelago.
All of which brings us to our new Daily Show segment specifically for the GOP field. How is Mitt Romney kicking all of your asses?
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Finally, all the combatants were in the arena. Everyone was ready for the brawl. Everyone was really waiting to see what Donald Trump would do. Because if you remember, Donald Trump skipped the last debate, which is probably why you don't remember the last debate. You see, Trump is the main attraction. He's the T-Rex in Jurassic Park. And to see him in action, all you need to do is leave out some poor little animal as bait. Oh, no, I'm not sure that's the right, if we can get some. Oh, yeah, that's better. Yeah, that'll do. That'll do. It's funny how you guys were sadder for Jeb Bush than a goat that was about to be eaten. So one of the biggest issues on the debate night between Jeb and Trump was eminent domain. And for many conservatives, this is a hot button issue. Should the government be able to take private land when they deem it necessary for the public good?
The Keystone Pipeline, without eminent domain, it wouldn't go 10 feet, okay? You need eminent domain.
But what Donald Trump did was use eminent domain to try to take the property of an elderly woman on the strip in Atlantic City. That is not public purpose. That is downright wrong.
Jeb wants to be a tough guy.
It was to tear down the house.
I didn't take the property.
And the net result was you tried.
I didn't take the property.
And you lost in the court.
Well, let me just, he wants to be a tough guy. A lot of times you'll have, and it doesn't work very well with
how tough is it to take
times
property from an elderly woman?
Let me talk quiet.
Quiet, Pipsqueak. Talk to the tan. That must have been the weirdest bar fight I've ever seen in my life. It's like two guys, hey, tough guy. Oh, you want to be a tough guy? You looking at my girl? No, I'm looking at your poorly considered thoughts on eminent domain as it relates to common carrier projects. That's it, let's take this outside.
A lot of times.
Property from an elderly woman.
Let me talk quiet.
How tough is it?
That's all of his donors and special interests out there. So, you know who has the tickets for the, I'm talking about to the television audience? Donors, special interests, the people that are putting up the money. So it is. The reason they're not loving me is I don't want their money.
This is insane. I love this. You understand how crazy Donald Trump is? Jeb Bush was like, fight me. And Trump was like, no, I need a challenge. And then he proceeded to fight the audience, the entire audience. If that's not presidential, I don't know what is, people. But even though everyone was waiting for Donald Trump, the match that really surprised everybody was the baby-faced thirst quencher Marco Rubio versus the bridge-blocking bully Governor Chris Christie. Because, no, here's the setup. Christie tanked in Iowa, making New Hampshire's last chance to make himself the top alternative to Trump or Cruz. But in order to do that, he'd have to beat Marco Rubio, who came in third in Iowa. So Chris Christie launched an accusation. Rubio is an empty suit with canned lines.
I want the people at home to think about this. That's what Washington, D.C. does. In the memorized 25-second speech, that is exactly what his advisors gave him.
All right, Rubio, all right, the challenge has been issued. And now you have to prove him wrong.
And let's dispel once and for all with this fiction that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. I would add this, let's dispel with this fiction that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. He is trying to change this country. Here's the bottom line. This notion that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing is just not
there
true.
There it is.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
There it is, the memorized 25-second speech.
Well, that's the reason, everybody. Why this camp...
Rubio, he's on to you. Switch up the play. Just say anything else.
The memorized 25-second speech.
Well, that's the reason, everybody. Why this campaign is so important. Because I think this notion, I think this is an important point. We have to understand what we're going through here. We are not facing a president that doesn't know what he's doing. He knows what he is doing.
He lost it. First of all, he's saying Barack Obama knows what he's doing. Let's just take a second to accept that. He does like a little. That's the first thing. And secondly, Chris Christie called Rubio out on the fact that he mindlessly repeats talking points like a stump speech robot. And Rubio's reply was beep boop, beep boop, beep boop. I am human. Beep boop, beep boop. He got exposed. Marco Rubio got f***ed so hard he had to take Chris Christie to Red Lobster. Senator Rubio, it's time for you to take a page out of Dr. Carson's book. Next time there's a debate, take a moment and think about not coming out. But for now, go home, get some fresh clothes, because let's be honest, you just your pants.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.